right now, the Kansas City Chiefs sit just one game away from the AFC Championship game. Anything can happen in the playoffs at one game at a time. And right now, the only thing sitting between the Chiefs and that game is Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. So, if you're a little bit worried, I understand. If you're a little bit hopeful, I think you and I are going to get along today on Roughing the Kicker here on Arrowhead Addict Radio. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. I am your host, Joshua Briscoe, on Twitter at JBBriscoe. I think if you look at this game objectively, you see advantages for both teams. But today I'm going to try to figure out which team has more of the advantages, the more important advantages, and ultimately break down as much of this game as I can fit into roughly an hour, and then let you know who is going to win this game and why. Plus some news about Doug Peterson, maybe I'll look at the other games a tiny, tiny bit. But for now, it's Chiefs, it's Patriots, it's injury news, it's Jeremy Mack, and what's going on with Rob Gronkowski. Things are swirling, some offensive linemen have already been ruled out, and it's all leading up to this AFC showdown. It will be in Foxborough, kicking off at 3:35 Central Time, when the Kansas City Chiefs take on the New England Patriots, the defending Super Bowl champions. The Chiefs are the 5 seed, the Patriots are the 2, and there's an interesting stat here about the Patriots at home. The Chiefs are bucking a trend going into New England. The Patriots have been favored by at least 7 points in every home game this year. They were also 7-point favorites versus the Ravens and the Colts last year. Stat comes from Ben Volen on Twitter. Now I want to ask, the Chiefs are 5-point underdogs. Why the respect for Kansas City in this divisional round? I think it comes down to two major factors here. One, I think these teams are pretty evenly matched. The Patriots at home are hard to beat in the playoffs, but we'll go along the ways the Chiefs can do it. And also because of injuries. Now, it seemed like, at least after last week, the Chiefs were the even more injured team after losing Jeremy Maclin. But you have to remember the type of injuries and the amount of injuries the Patriots have gone through this season. Their offensive line has been a train wreck because of all of the injuries. They've had wide receiver troubles, running back issues. Basically, everyone except for Tom Brady has been hurt, and even Tom Brady got hurt in Week 17. He's had a week to rest up, though. It seems like he'll be fine. I think he's officially listed as questionable. I'm not even sure. I have a feeling Tom Brady will play. But let's start with the Chiefs' injuries here. As of Thursday's press conference, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif and Mitch Morse had not practiced and did not pass the concussion protocol, and at 10:30 on Friday, they are both ruled out for the game on Saturday. Tom Bahali did not practice with some knee swelling. Justin Houston and Jeremy Maclin, according to Reed, quote, did a little bit during the stretch period, and that was about it. Houston, quote, went through the warm-ups and is making progress. Houston and Maclin are now both game-time decisions, according to Reed. So Houston, Maclin, Ware, Holly, and Albert Wilson are all listed as questionable now for the game. And that's about 25 hours before the kickoff would be. I don't think it's overstating it to say that Houston and Maclin are two of the Chiefs' 3 most important players, with the other one being Alex Smith because he's the quarterback and playing very well. So I don't think you can overstate how important those two guys are. I think the Chiefs are better equipped to compensate for the loss of Justin Houston because, assuming that Tom Bahali is healthy enough, because Dee Ford has been getting more and more reps lately, and I think they're going to be able to figure out how to pressure Tom Brady in a few different ways. Maclin has a respect from the Patriots defense that no other receiver has, and an ability to stretch the field that none of the other Chiefs receivers have, and Alex Smith trusts him more than any of the other pass catchers on this team. Now, the Patriots' injury situation is just as interesting and just as convoluted right now. An article by Mike Reese and Adam Schefter on ESPN.com is headlined, Rob Gronkowski gets treatment at hospital on right knee. The report says that the treatment included an injection. The Patriots believe that Gronkowski will play, but I suppose there is some sort of question there. And here's a quote from the article. Quote, he sustained a bruise or strain of his right knee on November 29th against the Denver Broncos, then missed the December 6th game against the Philadelphia Eagles. He returned December 13th against the Houston Texans before he was removed from the team's injury report the next week. He played 55 of 60 snaps in the regular season finale against the Miami Dolphins. So this report is a little bit of, I mean, it is a surprise. This isn't like some of the other guys I'll talk about here in a second, where they've been injured for most of the season or as of late. And their returns are in doubt or sketchy, to say the least. Gronkowski played almost all of the snaps in Week 17, 2 weeks ago. So this makes me think that something must have happened in practice that concerned the Patriots enough to have him go to a hospital and get an injection through whatever this treatment was on his knee. We don't have the details. I have to assume that he's going to move pretty well regardless of how his knee is feeling. But it's something to keep an eye on because he is such a hugely important part of this offense. Matt Verderam tweeted, "Interesting to see how Gronk is moving on Saturday. The key for the Patriots and Chiefs won't be who's active, but who can really play." And that statement, I think, is exactly as true for the next two guys in this injury report, Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola. Let's start with the less questionable one here, Amendola. Amendola is pretty consistently battling injuries and was limited in Patriots practice, but he played 26 snaps in Week 17 after playing none in 16 and just 16 snaps in Week 15. But he's had a week to rest up, so I expect him to play plenty, but a less than 100% Amendola is always another injury risk because of his history. Now, but I think he'll play as much as he needs to, unless another injury happens, which is always possible. Then Mike Reese of ESPN.com wrote an article about Julian Edelman. And listen to this headline closely, because I feel like it's not really being questioned that much, but it made me make a funny face whenever I read it, I assume. I couldn't see myself at the time. Julian Edelman says he will go, quote, full throttle on broken foot. So I guess good luck with that, but that seems like asking for trouble. The article continues, quote, "New England Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman, who's expected to return from a broken bone in his left foot for Saturday's divisional round playoff game against the Kansas City Chiefs, isn't holding back. Quote, I'm going to go full throttle regardless. If it goes, it goes," Edelman said Monday after practice. Edelman injured the foot on November 15th against the New York Giants and hasn't played since. He was the Patriots' leading receiver at the time with 61 catches. He hasn't played November, December. It's January 15th as I record this show right now. He hasn't played in two full months. I'm sure the Patriots have done their very best to keep him in as good of shape as possible, but with a broken foot, it can be awfully hard to stay in football shape. So that's just one part of it. The other part is he's coming in off a broken foot, not easing it in at all. He's coming in going, quote, full throttle. What does if it goes, it goes mean? I don't know if he means if it goes well or if his foot goes, it's over. I don't know what either of those things mean. But that's got to be scary for Patriots fans, and that's gotta be something that you're watching very carefully. If Edelman looks a little out of shape or looks like he has a little bit of a hard time adjusting to game speed right away, it's because he hasn't played in 2 months. And if he looks like he's limping around, it's because he's just playing after having a broken bone in his foot. But the Patriots need him against the Chiefs. In fact, there was a tweet from Eric Edholm on Twitter that said, "Some whispers about the Patriots sniffing around free agent wide receivers, which is interesting on a Wednesday before a Saturday playoff game." That just shows you where the Patriots are as far as their receivers. And maybe it also gives you an inclination of how concerned they are about, if not Amendola, certainly Edelman going into this game. Another thing on the Patriots report, not necessarily an injury, but a very strange story that seems to have settled down a little bit. Pat's defensive end Chandler Jones. He was hospitalized after seeking help from police after, quote, having a bad reaction to a substance he put into his body, which is a heck of a quote from, I think, an ESPN article. There's been a lot of speculation about the substance. The most recent speculation I've seen, I think, was synthetic marijuana, but it's all just speculation at this point. And he's going to play. We wouldn't know if something was going to keep him from playing at this point. He's been practicing, limited, but he was on the field. He's going to play, but what a strange story. So that's where we are with injuries right now. The Chiefs are out a couple of offensive linemen. Jeremy Maclin, shocking to me, after what we saw on the field, in the on-field reports clearly indicating an ACL, which is why he was so emotional. For it to be an ankle sprain, I think Andy Reid was quoted as saying it's not one of those nasty ones. To potentially be playing the next week is incredible. If he can even be active and on the field, that would be great because the Patriots have to pay attention to him. But Amari Cooper did something similar the last several weeks of the Raiders season where he was getting out on the field, but he was still very, very clearly hampered by his injury. And you cannot be an effective receiver with a bad ankle. Now, if he's on a sore ankle and he gets, you know, a painkiller shot in his ankle and it's wrapped up or whatever, he might still be Jeremy Maclin, although I would be able to have some skepticism about timing being thrown off. But to be a threat, to be a real threat on the field and have it be Jeremy Maclin, who is deserving of defense's respect and defenses get it and Bill Belichick gets it, that would be huge for the Patriots or for the Chiefs offense. And then for the Chiefs on defense, if all three pass rushers are healthy is an unfair word for the 18th week of an NFL season. No one is healthy. But if Houston and Haile can play and be productive, boy, well, let's start looking at the matchups, I guess, because I think it's going to be a heck of a game. The Patriots ended their season on a 2-4 run with losses to Denver, Philadelphia, the New York Jets, and Miami, with wins over Houston and Tennessee. Let's start with the Chiefs on offense here, because quite frankly, I'm going to talk about it less because I think it's a little less interesting and a little more cut and dry. And I think the Chiefs' defense is going to dictate where this game goes, because I think the offense will do enough, dare I say, with or without Jeremy Maclin, as long as the defense does their job. Or if the defense can do their job against by far the best quarterback they've seen this year. Chiefs offense, though, let's look at what the Patriots allowed on the ground in those losses. At Denver, allowed 179 yards rushing. At home against Philly, 128. At Miami, just 96, but Miami scored just 20 points. And then at the Jets, 143. I made comparisons between the Chiefs and the Jets before the postseason, as the Jets were trying to get in the postseason before they ultimately choked it away. I think the Jets game is going to be the closest capable similarity that the Chiefs are going to have against a game against the Patriots this year. I think the Jets do a lot of things similarly, or at least they did in this game. Keeping those running numbers in mind, the Chiefs are going to have a fantastic chance to run the ball at New England if Chris Conley and maybe Jeremy Maclin can stretch the field enough to keep the safeties honest. Maybe Albert Wilson gets in that too, but Wilson's now also questionable. If Wilson and Travis Kelce can be a threat across the middle and as threats to get those short, quick passes and then pick up yards after the catch, and if Alex Smith can stay protected and deliver those passes, I might be oversimplifying it, but I think that's all it would take for the Chiefs offense here. I guess there's a lot of ifs there. If they can have deep threats, if the short stuff works, if the running game is effective. But I say that knowing that those have all happened for roughly the last 11 weeks. Those are things the Chiefs have been able to do consistently. If Ware and West can get fed the ball a little bit and push up against the holes in this Patriots defense, those holes will only get bigger as the outside threats become more and more relevant. And anything going with Kelce and Wilson, either be it across the middle or shorter on the edges, or anything short just to try to get the ball in their hands so they can make a play, it's going to open up a lot of options for Alex Smith and Andy Reid in this game. And I'm being awfully optimistic, I suppose, because I don't think incredibly highly of the Patriots defense, although obviously Bill Belichick knows what he's doing. And when you look at what the Chiefs offense can do, what Belichick always tries to do is take away your best options. He'll identify the most important piece of an offense and try to remove it and then leave it up to his defense to win the rest of the battles. I think the Chiefs will try to do that in this game also. I think that's what they did against Houston. Whenever I talked over and over and over about how one-dimensional the Houston offense was, it's not because the running game was so important there, but it's because the Chiefs didn't have to worry about Houston's run game because there was none. So then all the focus goes to DeAndre Hopkins and Brian Hoyer, and then Brian Hoyer made the mistakes. The Chiefs win big. That's what Bill Belichick, I think, tries to do in most matchups. And that's going to be difficult to do here because, especially if Jeremy Maclin is active and maybe actually effective. The biggest threat in the passing game is surely Travis Kelce. I might say regardless because I think Maclin will be limited if he's on the field at all. And if he's on the field at all, I think he's got to be effective enough to be a real threat. He can't be a total dead duck decoy. I'd rather have Chris Conley be a decoy, but actually stretching the field. But if Maclin is out there, it could be him as the biggest threat. See, it's probably going to be Travis Kelce in the passing game, but I'm not sure if the running game isn't the actual biggest threat for the Chiefs right now. Regardless, Belichick has to pick. And the defense has to pick, not necessarily for the entire game, but play to play, drive to drive. They have to identify what the Chiefs are actually going to be leaning on the most, and then focus to stop that. Andy Reid's job is to do the opposite. Andy Reid has to be able to adjust quickly. If he sees the Patriots selling out to stop the run game, Albert Wilson and Travis Kelce need to get a little extra tape on their ankles because they're going to be running across the middle all day. If he realizes that the Patriots are leaving linebackers across the middle or leaving coverage help to help make sure Conley or Maclin don't go deep or don't get open when they do, then Ware and West had better be ready. And this is, I know I talked about this last week on the Houston preview show, Chiefs fans have a cynicism just ingrained in our DNA. I certainly have that. I want to look at this and say, oh, this is where the Chiefs are going to blow it. But as long as the Chiefs don't allow a bunch of turnovers on offense, which they've been very good at not doing, as long as that doesn't happen, I think the Chiefs' offense is going to do enough well to keep the Patriots' defense on their heels. And I kind of don't want to believe that. I kind of want to sit here and go, yeah, they'll run the ball a little bit, but Alex Smith's Alex Smith, and he's going to just be a game manager, and it'll be nothing but checkdowns and handoffs. And Alex Smith has not been that guy for a dozen weeks now. He hasn't played that way, and he's played so well that the Chiefs can be a dangerous passing team, a dangerous run team. I guess with Morse and LDT being out, the emphasis goes to the offensive line, and the offensive line can dictate if Smith can actually throw it or if the team can run the ball. So if the offense scores, I don't know, 20 or less in this game, I expect it to either be a surprising amount of turnovers, which might just be two, really, but I expect it to be a surprising amount of turnovers, or I sit back in this chair next week and go, man, that offensive line got whipped. And that's so hard to predict. And I don't think it will, because Fulton and Ja Reed playing center and right guard respectively, along with the rest of the mess the offensive line has thrown together, with Donald Stevenson at right tackle, Eric Fisher at left tackle, and a really nice showing from Jeff Allen at left guard for the weeks he's been there. That hodgepodge has been effective, and was effective last week against a darn good pass rush. I think Donald Stevenson's actually better in pass protection than run blocking, which is, I think, pretty uncommon for offensive linemen, and not necessarily a good thing in this game, but I think he'll hold up. I think the offensive line holds up. I think the offense holds up. I think the game really comes down to the other side of the ball. Offensive point totals versus Chiefs defense in the last five games. 0, 10, 13, 14, 3. The Chiefs haven't allowed more than 22 offensive points since week 4. That stat comes from Evan Silva on Twitter. Less than 23 offensive points allowed every single week since week 4. You can argue that a lot of those opponents weren't very good, and you would be right. But boy, the Chiefs' defense has been good. Statistically, the stats back it up. Eyeball test, it all works together. The Chiefs do a lot of things very, very well defensively. And the problem has been the offense capitalizing in a couple of cases, and I think that's going to happen in this game. So what about the defense? Why am I more concerned about the defense? Why is that more important here? It's because the Chiefs haven't played Tom Brady in their last five games or since week 4 or at all this season. Now, what about Tom Brady this year? He hasn't been Tom Brady. The weapons around him have been probably the worst weapons he's had in his career, maybe paired with the offensive line, how banged up it's been. He might have the worst supporting cast he's ever had. And he's still Tom Brady, but it's been very different. Let's start with the Chiefs secondary versus the Pats wide receivers. There was some Patriots writer who tweeted that Julian Edelman would, quote, roast Marcus Peters on Saturday. And while I think a little shifty guy on the outside like that would give Peters more trouble than a more traditional physical wide receiver like Amari Cooper, DeAndre Hopkins, we won't see the Edelman-Peters matchup very often. At Citadel Chief on Twitter, Edelman does line up outside some, probably not enough to ever, quote, roast Peters, but some. Peters will face Amendola most of the game. Matt Verderam, Marcus Peters probably does not cover Edelman more than 20 to 25% of the game. I still think Amendola could give Peters some problems. And I think Edelman will test Sean Smith, and more importantly, whenever he is in the slot, when Edelman is in his natural slot spot, Ron Parker might just be the key to this football game. He has played so, so well when he's been called on in the slot this year, because Steven Nelson's not ready, and we don't want Marcus Cooper or Jamel Fleming on the field. Ron Parker has played so well in coverage that we've forgotten to talk about him. And there's been talk about Ron Parker and his run defense, his tackling, how well he's played as a safety, but whenever he's had to cover the slot, I'm going to say the exact same thing I just said, I guess. He's played so well that we have forgotten to talk about him. He doesn't get picked on. He doesn't get thrown at. That slot position Sometimes I wonder if it's still Ron Parker playing it, because we never talk about it. That was where the Chiefs got picked apart at the beginning of the season, was when Sean Smith was out, and the slot guys, it was an alternation between Phil Gaines and Cooper and Fleming, and then Sean Smith comes back, but Gaines gets hurt, and that keeps happening, and eventually Ron Parker started playing the slot. And since then, we haven't talked about other teams' slot receivers, because they have been irrelevant because of how good Ron Parker's been. So, Ron Parker versus Julian Edelman, which is like an insane thing to say, Ron Parker versus Julian Edelman might be the most important matchup in this football game. And I think Peters will hold his own against whoever it is that he's going up against. Amendola could give him some problems. But the Patriots have some real weaknesses at the wide receiver position. Week 17 in Miami, the leading receiver was James White with 63 yards, and he had a 68-yard long reception, so he lost yardage on his other one, and he was only targeted 3 times. Next up, Steven Jackson. Yes, that Steven Jackson, the running back. He also led the team in carries in Week 17. Once again, yes, that Steven Jackson. He had 20 yards, second leading receiver. Next leading receiver, Rob Gronkowski, 2 for 18. Next, Danny Amendola, 2 for 17. No one on that team caught more than 2 passes against Miami. The Patriots scored only 10 points. Think that game was abnormal? That's fine. Let's go to the week prior. In New York, against the Jets, a game that where everything pretty much went like a normal game, except for they ended up losing it in overtime with a strange coin toss call. But it ended up 26-20 New England. Again, I think the Jets are a very comparable team. Tom Brady threw for 231 yards. Brandon Bolden led the team in rushing, 9 carries, 30 yards. Gronkowski was the leading receiver, 4 receptions for 86. Then Keyshawn Martin caught 7 for 68. Brandon Bolden, 5 for 30. James White, 5 for 28. And Brandon LaFell, 1 for 19. No one else caught a pass. The Chiefs have so much talent in the secondary. As long as they can play the short game and deal with the slot-type receivers, no one on the Patriots is stretching the field consistently, which is a very strange thing to say after, you know, thinking back to the days of Randy Moss and that incredible run the Patriots had. No one is stretching the field for New England. In fact, wow, think about this. With Antonio Brown out, I guess you could, and maybe, let's say, without Ben Roethlisberger potentially, the Chiefs might have the best downfield passing attack in the AFC right now, because Peyton Manning can't throw the ball downfield, Ben Roethlisberger can't throw the ball downfield, and Tom Brady isn't throwing the ball downfield because he doesn't have anyone to catch it. So maybe Alex Smith and Jeremy Maclin is the best deep threat duo in the still alive in the AFC right now. I just thought of that off the top of my head, and it might not be true, but that's kind of a phenomenal possibility because I think it might be valid. Anyway, the Patriots' offense has been struggling as of late, and the Chiefs' defense has been thriving. So I'll take the Chiefs' secondary over the Patriots' wide receivers, even including Rob Gronkowski, although I'll take that separately. Calvin Esslinger, a listener of this show, tweeted me and said, "The Carolina Panthers have the best work versus tight ends this year via Football Outsiders. Number 2, the Kansas City Chiefs." With that in mind, if Rob Gronkowski's running around a little bit gimpy, if his knee's not quite right, and he's the only threat the Chiefs are having to deal with because I'm thinking the rest of the secondary or even the corners one-on-one are dealing with Amendola and Edelman, I'm not terrified of Rob Gronkowski. He has some big game-breaking potential. I hate to see him in the red zone. If the Patriots get to the red zone, I assume Rob Gronkowski is going to catch a touchdown. But I'm not terrified. Should I be? Are you? When you hear what I just said about the Patriots' offense, Rob Gronkowski's got an injection in his knee. I respect that offense. I'll respect Belichick, Brady, Gronkowski until the day I die. But I'm not shaking in my boots. I don't think it's a super high-flying, high-powered offense that's going to throw over the top of the Chiefs' heads. I don't know. Back to the Patriots' run game, I suppose. In their losses to Denver and to the Jets, the Patriots recorded 39 and 63 yards rushing, respectively. And those two defenses, I think, are comparable to Kansas City. And even the Patriots struggle when the offense becomes totally one-dimensional. We just talked about that. Their run game has struggled all year long. But where they balance that out is with lots of short, quick work to Gronkowski, Edelman, and Amendola. That is the key of the offense to me. And the key of the Chiefs' defense, I suppose. The run game is not good in New England right now. The deep passing game is not good right now. But they make up for it with really efficient Gronk, Edelman, Amendola work, which sounds kind of like the Chiefs game plans that made people say that Alex Smith needed to be cut and benched for Chase Daniel. So I acknowledge how absurd that is. But I think we have to go back to the issue of when offenses become one-dimensional against good defensive coordinators. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Chiefs generating pressure, but if the Patriots really can't run the ball or stretch the field, don't you think Bob Sutton is going to be able to stop one element of any offense? Because I do. I think you could put any quarterback behind a questionable offensive line, which is right now Tom Brady behind his own offensive line. You could put any quarterback behind a shabby offensive line and give one element of the game that they do very well, which for the Patriots right now is the mid-range passing game. I'd say in everything else, you can try, but it's been a struggle lately. Bob Sutton knows that. You put any quarterback in that situation, let it be Tom Brady at home in the playoffs. I think you should be capable of halting that. And I think Bob Sutton is. He has to stop, the Chiefs defense has to stop one area. And it's a difficult area to stop, and the Patriots do it very, very well. And if Edelman stretches the field a couple of times, maybe that's what changes the game. If he goes deep a few times and it works out twice, and maybe it's a pass interference and a long touchdown, that absolutely could be the defining factor of this game. But he hasn't played in 2 months. He's just got a broken bone in his foot. I'm not terrified of his downfield speed right now against Marcus Peters. And I hope he is against Marcus Peters whenever he's going deep, because I'd rather him be running with Peters than running against Sean Smith. But let's talk about the pressure now for a second. I will take the Chiefs pass rush over the Patriots offensive line as the most important matchup in this game. Also, really evenly matched one is special teams. Both teams have had pretty fantastic years in that respect. If one team breaks, maybe that's what changes it. But I think it's pretty much a wash going into it, and it's very hard to evaluate that beyond that point. So the Chiefs' pass rush versus the Patriots' offensive line. I think this is the most important part of the game, maybe with the exception of Ron Parker, if you want to have one specific player in mind. Pro Football Focus has the Patriots' pass blocking rated as the second worst in the league. Chiefs are not far behind. I think they're actually third. But Dee Ford has gotten more work lately. Tom Bahali, although he's working with an injury, looked pretty good last week. Justin Houston, coming back from his injury, looked awfully good considering how long it had been since he played. The Chiefs are going to get pass rush from the edges as long as those guys are on the field and somewhat healthy. That's going to happen. That's the default for the Chiefs. Pressure from the edges needs to be there. It will be there. If it's not, everything changes. But pressure up the middle is what's going to stunt Tom Brady in this game. And pressure from the edges will keep him consistently under threat of being stripped and otherwise harassed. But it's the pressure up the middle that's going to change this game. Now, don't be fooled by the fact that Bob Sutton has a talent for generating pressure with a secondary, or at least from places you wouldn't particularly expect it, because he does. And that's worked in different cases, but in this game, I don't think he's going to be able to afford to. Because Bob Sutton is a much better coordinator when he can trust his defensive line to consistently get that first push. Dontari Poe, Jay Howard, Alan Bailey, Mike DeVito, those guys are going to have a chance to decide this game. If the defensive line can consistently get to Tom Brady, then Justin Houston, Tom Bahali, and Dee Ford can play cleanup, which is a luxury for some of the best pass rushers in football. Then the secondary can take extra help, limit Brady's options, make sure nothing can go behind you, keep extra eyes on those short things. Brady can throw 3-yard passes or even 6-yard passes all he wants, as long as Chiefs have a chance to tackle the guy right there or break up each one of those. And a lot of times, whenever you're throwing that into that much of a mess and under pressure, that creates turnovers. Pressure with the defensive line, leaving the linebackers back, not letting anything go deep, usually means rush throw short. And in that case, with the defense that jumbled in the middle, that often means that pass finds the linebacker's hands before it finds Julian Edelman's, or Rob Gronkowski's, or Danny Amendola's. The Chiefs can create pressure which can create turnovers, which can create points, which will change this game. And boy, and if they can do that, if that defensive line's there, the edges are there, don't worry about the secondary bringing pressure if you don't have to. This defense is going to be very, very hard for Tom Brady to negotiate with. And a stat popped up on Twitter along my timeline somewhere in the last couple of days showing how good Tom Brady has been under pressure, and it's amazing. But he is lethal with time and with options. Take those things away, and Brady's going to struggle. This defense, especially at not necessarily full health, but with everyone on the field, is a top three defense in the NFL. It will make plays. It will find ways to make plays. It will find plays to make. Arrowhead Pride, though, tweeted out, I think, a very valid point. The test for the Chiefs will be winning without a big turnover margin. I don't think the Pats are turning it over a whole lot. And I agree to an end. They're going to have to be able to win without a turnover, without a big turnover margin. You have to be going into the game that way, but I don't think they will. I think the Chiefs will have to win the turnover battle to take this game. I've probably sounded pretty negative on the Patriots. I'm going to clarify why I'm not here in just a second. But I think they will create those turnovers. I don't trust any of the Patriots running backs. And if Brady has to rely on that short passing game and then has to rely on it even more because he's under duress all the time, not only from the edges, but from up the middle, from Dontari Poe, the edges collapse in and he has to step up into Poe or cannot step up. He's going to make mistakes. Josh Malga, I like that play, and it was Brian Hoyer, but remember that play against Brian Hoyer and the Texans last week, down by the goal line. It's very similar to what I was going to try to describe anyway, so we'll try to think of that while we're at it. Whenever the edges collapse in on a quarterback's pocket, what separates terrible quarterbacks from good quarterbacks, good from great, is how well the quarterback steps up in the pocket and delivers the throw. Well, when Brian Hoyer went to step up, when that happened, he stepped up into the loving arms of Dontari Poe, because Poe had beaten his man and was waiting for him. When that happened, he did not, he rushed a throw, it was not a very good throw, and he should not have made that decision, but it's hard to make good decisions when you're about to die. Bad decision, bad throw, Josh Malga interception. I can't tell you it's going to end in an interception, but that setup is going to happen to Tom Brady in this game at least a couple of times. The edges will collapse in, he'll step up, and the difference is going to be if Dontari Poe is there or not. I think he will be there some, he will be some other times. When Brady can step up, keep going through his reads, take time to make his decisions, and find the open guy, he'll beat anyone. Whenever he steps up, and Jay Howard or Dontari Poe is waiting for him there, he's either going to get sacked, and the offense will struggle to get anything done, or he'll make mistakes. Turnovers happen, even to the best of them. And the Chiefs have a chance to force those with that setup in my mind. Keeping in mind, though, also how important the turnovers are if you're not sold. The need for turnovers is especially true in the two biggest wins of the season for the Chiefs, at least in my mind, in Denver and in Houston last week. Create a lot of turnovers, in that case a lot of interceptions, you're going to win the game handily. Do that just enough against a much better quarterback than injured Peyton Manning or Brian Hoyer. Tom Brady's better than both of them. Sorry to, throw a wrench into this whole thing. Tom Brady, not quite Brian Hoyer. You can still force those kind of mistakes and enough of them. The real key will be then capitalizing on them on offense, assuming they do force those mistakes. That's how I think the Chiefs put together a winning game plan here. Now let's talk about Tom Brady for a second. Because if you look at this whole game, every player on it, every aspect of the game, I think the Chiefs are a better team here. But Tom Brady has, by far, the best chance to take over this game. It's Tom Brady at home in the playoffs. He may be the best player at the most important position in the most important games in the history of football. In fact, I would argue that he is. Tom Brady in big games at the most important position is the best that I've seen. But every quarterback gets worse under that kind of pressure. If the Chiefs pressure Brady to the point of being human, crashing the edges, don't let him step up, the Chiefs have just about every other advantage. So here's where this leaves me now. I think the Chiefs are the better team. But I think Brady has the advantage in a close game. So what has to happen to make this Chiefs victory? I think the Chiefs have to pick up distance early on with touchdowns, not field goals, please. Especially early. They've got to make some space early on between them and the Patriots. And then as Brady starts to chip away at it, by the end, it just can't be enough. So I'm going to say the Chiefs lead for most of the game. And maybe it's not ever 17-0, but maybe it's 7-3, 14-10, 17-13. However it progresses, the Chiefs cannot play from behind, and they have to stay just a step ahead. And I'm going to say they do it. I'm going to say they lead for most of the game, hold off a late Patriots drive, go to the AFC Championship game with a 27-24 victory. But if you tell me it has, I'm saying 24-27 because I have to give a number. And I think the Chiefs are the better team. If you were to say, hey, guess what? You're right. It is 27-24. It is 27-24. Who wins? I would say New England. Because as much as I think the Chiefs have the better team here, I think Tom Brady losing a close game at home in the playoffs would be like seeing Bigfoot in the wild. But this is the weakest overall Patriots team that I can think of in recent memory, and it's the strongest Chiefs one. I actually think the Chiefs win this game, but unlike last week, I think the cynicism and the worry is completely justified. Because I think these are two very good teams. Or I think the Chiefs are the better team with big threats. Either a really good team or a really threatening team. The Patriots are the Patriots for a reason. Belichick and Brady win Super Bowls and have the reputation and the respect that I'm giving them now, which is, I don't think their team is that great, but I think they could win the Super Bowl. They've earned that respect because they've done it so much. They did it last year. And I think this team is inferior to last year's team. I don't think the Patriots won the Super Bowl, although I think they'll win the AFC if they beat the Chiefs tomorrow. It's hard. It's so hard to pick a Chiefs team that I am inherently cynical about, even after breaking the streak last week. It's so hard to pick that team over Touchdown Tommy in New England in the cold in the playoffs. It doesn't feel right. It feels totally wrong. But rationally, if you took the names off, I think I'd pick the Chiefs to win by 2 touchdowns. The issue is, you don't take the names off. Tom Brady is a legend already for a reason. Bill Belichick is maybe the best coach in NFL history for a reason. And that's why I think this game is close. And if it's a close game, the Patriots have the edge here. I'm picking the Chiefs, but I cannot wait to watch this game unless it goes horribly, horribly wrong. And in which case, I can't wait to be on Twitter while eating an enormous pack of Kit Kats and crying. Along the lines of things I'm worried about, I asked you all on Twitter some of your biggest fears from this game. We'll come to that in a second. But first, I want to talk to you about Patreon. Patreon.com/RTK. That is PATREON.com/RTK. You can give a little bit of money to me and this show to help grow the show, help benefit the show for everything from this new beautiful microphone I got a few weeks ago to iTunes hosting so everyone can subscribe and listen to the show from all across the country and the world, which always blows my mind and makes me happy. Makes me happy to hear. If you even want to sponsor the show, shoot me a message. Or I've had a couple people message me about a PayPal address and send some money straight that way, which is what Randy Singh did this week. He's at Randy_Singh_SING_RANDY_SINGH. And I'm going to give him that whole long shout out because he's in the $20 group. The $20 group is royalty for this show. He's there with Don Beal at DonBeal32 and Andy Simpson and Steven Smith and Derek Vaughn at D_Vaughn88. Thank you guys for helping keep this show running. Along with the $10 group, Christine Roadlander at C Roadlander and Ty Declare at Ty Declare 44, a couple of veterans of the Patreon group. And the $5 group, Josh Beadle and Ben Rahman. I appreciate all of you guys throwing money this direction. One of the things I'm going to work on for next year, just a little bit of sneak peek ahead, is hopefully being able to have weekly guests on, maybe even from the opposing teams. And that's currently, I haven't gotten the logistics of that figured out yet, or the hardware figured out for that yet, But that's my goal for next year, and hopefully even for the off season. So currently, other than the iTunes hosting, that's where that money is funding up for. So I appreciate that so much. Patreon.com/RTK, or if you want to send me PayPal, anything, message me. I'll give you my email address for that. Now let's go over to Twitter, where some of these names are going to show up again, starting off with Ty Declare, at TyDeclare44, answering, what are your biggest fears for this game? These are all tweeted to me, at JB Briscoe on Twitter. He said, my biggest fear for this game is that Andy Reid will focus more on New England's weaknesses than Kansas City's strengths in his game planning. Asked him to clarify, said something along the lines of neglecting the run game to take advantage of the New England pass defense or trying to copy last year's plan. The way that Belichick said they would go over the film made me feel that Reid may take that and overcoach in the opposite direction. That's from Ty. I think the fear of Reid attacking the wrong thing because he sees a discrepancy somewhere is very valid. But because of how balanced the offense has been, as I talked about just a little bit ago, he can screw it up. Believe me. Abandoning the run game is the thing that I'm the most afraid of in this game also. Because the Patriots can't run the ball. The Chiefs can control the clock that way. And the run defense has not been very good lately again, especially against the Jets with Bilal Powell and Chris Ivory. That, I think, juxtaposes pretty well to Charcandrick West and Spencer Ware. Run styles don't perfectly match up, but it's two healthy, fresh backs who've been playing very well as of late. The Chiefs can tear apart the New England run defense enough here. I also have a fear, I suppose, then, that Reid will miss that, but I don't think that he will. At that dope kid Dre on Twitter said, our offense not being able to keep the defense off the field. Got to convert third downs in this game. Totally valid. Completely agree. Again, keeping the defense off the field can go back to the run game. I might be more stuck on the run game than I even thought I was before starting this podcast, because it seems to be the answer for a lot of these questions and doubts that we have. At Niner1001, can we score enough points in that weather, missing weapons versus a rested team? I haven't really talked about the Patriots being rested very much, besides the specifically injured guys. Having a free week of rest in the NFL is nice, especially because the coaching staff and the scouts and everything have pretty much been split among the teams that the Patriots could have ended up playing this week. So they've had extra time to prepare. I'm not unbelievably concerned about the team being rested, although it gives them a little boost. There's just not much you can do about that. I don't know what the weather forecast is right now. It's going to be in New England, so I'm assuming it's going to be cold. I think a really cold or really sloppy or snowy game would benefit the Chiefs because, again, the Patriots in Week 17, their leading rusher was Steven Jackson. They've had injuries and switches all throughout their backfield all season long. I would be happy. I would be thrilled to see this game become who's the better running offense. Because the Chiefs' offensive line has run blocked very well, and the backs have been so good. I would love that. So I'm not afraid of that either. Missing weapons, absolutely. Macklin disappears, a huge threat of this offense disappears. At Natasha to Marie from Arrowhead Addict responded, probably deflated balls, to be honest. That is a good point. I had to tweet back and say, I can't believe this, but I had completely let that leave my memory. I hadn't even considered making deflated jokes throughout this entire podcast. And I'm glad that I made it this far. I might end up having to do it again now because it just stuck in my head. But that's what I'm afraid of also. If Tom Brady gets his hands on some deflated footballs, the Chiefs are completely toasted. At Dewey Mike on Twitter, our offense. So is it really a bad thing to lose Doug Peterson? We'll talk about Doug Peterson here in a second. The offense is balanced enough, and I certainly don't think any of it goes back to any of the negatives, particularly go back to Doug Peterson. I think if the offense looks bad, it's going to be either turnover-based or not having Jeremy Maclin-based. But maybe the play calling, like you and Ty are both worried about, maybe the play calling could really derail the team. I don't think it will. At Randy Singh, our outside linebackers being banged up. We need to frustrate Brady early. If we can do what Miami did during Week 17, we should be good. Randy, not only do I agree with you supporting this show, I agree with your tweet. That was easy. And then Ryan Landreth, at Ryan_Landreth. Former total host of the show, probably beyond sometime early in this offseason, said Tom Brady remembers he's Tom Brady and goes into total FU mode. Yes, I saved that for last because that terrifies me the most also. I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think he can right now. I don't think he has a supporting cast to do that right now. But he's made way worse players look really good in certain cases. He doesn't have Randy Moss or Wes Welker, but can Julian Edelman be good enough for him to be, you know, bold, italicized Tom Brady? Yeah, probably so. A couple quick notes before we head out of this one. Doug Peterson, Chiefs offensive coordinator, is reportedly set in to be become the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles after the Chiefs' season ends. Also, there's some thought that Brad Childress is likely to leave with Doug Peterson. He's been the spread game analyst for the Chiefs. He would become the offensive coordinator in Philly. Losing Peterson would be a bummer, especially because he's been so helpful this year as he's called some plays and taken that from Andy Reid in a few places. It's a bummer. It's nice, I suppose, that people want Chiefs players and coaches now. It's been a while since that's happened. Some good news for the Chiefs front office. It sounds like Chiefs Chris Ballard, who is one of the top candidates for the Titans general manager job, is out of the running per @TerryMC13 on Twitter. So we're probably going to have Peterson leave Kansas City, but Ballard will stick around. I would assume at this point that that the Chiefs will promote from within to fill that offensive coordinator spot. We'll talk about that a lot more during the offseason. This show is too important for playoffs. Other games, really quickly. I think I went 2-2 last week. I honestly don't remember. I'm going with Kansas City on the road. That's the only upset I want. I'll take Arizona and I'll take Arizona over Green Bay, Carolina over Seattle, and Denver over Pittsburgh because the Steelers will not have Antonio Brown or D'Angelo Williams. That's going to do it for this show. This is Roughing the Kicker on ArrowheadAddict.com, Arrowhead Addicts Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Briscoe. You can always get in touch with me and follow me on Twitter at JBBRISCO, JB Briscoe. You can get into contact with the show in more long form. Facebook message me at facebook.com/RTK show. Patreon.com/RTK is where you can support the show. Please subscribe on iTunes. Sometimes shows go up a little earlier there than they do on Arrowhead Addict. Make sure you subscribe to the Roughing the Kicker feed, not the AA Radio one. That one's been having some problems lately that I've not been able to fix yet. So we're going all on the Roughing the Kicker feed. As always, thank you so much for listening wherever you may be. If you're across the United States, across the world, I know we'll all be watching, fingers crossed, whenever the Chiefs go to Foxborough to try to get to the AFC Championship game through the evil reign of the evil empire. As much as every bone in my body wants me to pick Bill Belichick and Tom Brady at home in the playoffs, I've been given a new hope. It's enough Star Wars metaphors for me.
Excuse me, sir.
Bye, Mom!
Did you drop the base?